I really believe that God's going to use the resources here at this church to make a difference in this community. So as the Lord leads you, I ask you to give. Extra change. We'll take change money. We'll take 20s. We'll take 10s. We'll take 100s. Amen. Can't be God-given no matter how hard you try. So we thank God for that this morning. Listen, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book. Amen. Look at here. Thank you. Amen. God bless. Take your Bibles. Turn with me this morning to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. It is our custom, if you would, to stand with us as we read and honor the word of the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4. Amen. Don't really have a sermon for you this morning. Just want to share something that's on my heart that I believe will be a blessing to each of us. 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to begin reading this morning in verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful creator. Let's pray this morning. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the gift of life and the privilege to come into your house and to worship you through song and through word. I pray now that you would bless this time. Speak to us in such a way, Lord, that all of us will be able to understand it. Live it out in our daily lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's be honest this morning. I think it's safe to say that there are times in all of our lives when we wonder if the Christian life is worth the pain and the heartache that we sometimes feel. I think it's safe to say that there are times when it looks like that the devil is just having his way against us. And when we look out into our future, there's no sign of victory at all. I think there are days when all of us, if we would be honest, The days when we feel totally defeated. We experience a spirit and a level of discouragement that brings hopelessness and sometimes even fear to our souls. The times when we wonder, is it all worth it? The times when I look around me and I look at the struggles and I look at the burdens and I look at the pain and I ask myself the question, am I going to even make it? Am I the only one been there? The times when things look mighty dark. The times in my life, and I know that perhaps in the life of many of you here this morning, when the pain and the hurt, the disappointment is so deep that you feel like you'll never get past this moment in your life. If you feel that way this morning, if you've experienced that, I want to tell you that you're not alone. Not alone in those experiences. You're not alone in those times of despair. Not alone in those times of deep and dark storms that seem to flood your life. There are times when you just feel overwhelmed. You just feel overwhelmed. But as I study scripture, Solid Rock, I learned that the saints of old, both in the Old and the New Testament, experienced those times. Experienced times when it looked like that they just couldn't make it. They just couldn't make it. I want to tell you, I've had to learn this the hard way, but I'm learning it. Whenever you make a decision to follow Jesus, you're going to have problems with the devil. In this world, when you make a decision that you're going to walk with Jesus and that you're going to serve Jesus, I'm telling you that there'll be some times of difficulties, some times of adversity, some times of great struggle. The devil will do all that he can to render your life totally discouraged, totally defeated, totally disillusioned. He goes about it in many different ways. But one of the ways he go about discouraging you and defeating you is the way I like to call the beat down effect. Where day in and day out, he just try to beat you down. Day in and day out, he just try to wear you out. The devil wants to beat the hope out of you. The devil wants to beat the joy out of you. If you're a child of God this morning, I'm telling you, the devil wants to beat all of the peace of God out of you. He beats, and he beats, and he beats, and he keeps beating, and he keeps beating, and he keeps beating. It's the beat down effect. Beat down at home, you beat down on the job, you beat down in the community. If you're not careful, you'll get beat down at the church. It's a beat down effect. Because he wants to render you worthless and useless as a Christian. I text this morning, the Apostle Peter is writing to believers. He's writing to men and women and young people who have given their lives to Jesus Christ. Because of their connection with Christ, they're on the run for their lives. Everywhere they go, there's persecution waiting. Everywhere they go, there is afflictions and harassment, oppression. Many of them was killed for their faith. And Peter takes this opportunity to write to them, and God in his grace left us a copy of the letter because God knew that the closer the end would draw, and the more that we begin to walk with Christ, God knew that that same devil that tried to beat the life out of the early church would try to beat the life out of us. Stay with me this morning. I want to take you somewhere. And so Peter writes to them, and he writes not only to encourage them, but he writes to instruct them. There are several lessons that we can learn from Peter's letter. You're here this morning and you're in a fight. I mean, you're in a fight, Jack. You're in a battle for your faith. You're in a battle for your hope. You're in a battle for your family. You're in a battle for your joy. Peter gives us some words of encouragement and instruction here. I just want us to take our time and go through them. The first thing that Peter would have us to know is found in verse number 12. Peter would tell us in words and terms that we could understand today. He would say, it's not unusual and it's not uncommon what you're going through. It's not unusual and it's not uncommon of the fiery trials that has entered into your life. Listen what Peter says in verse number 12. He said, beloved, think it not strange. And he doesn't line that. He said, listen, this is nothing new. This is nothing strange. This is nothing unusual. This is nothing uncommon. The Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints and saints today are facing this kind of harassment. Beloved, think it not strange. Think it not strange. Trouble has a way of finding us as believers. Has a way of coming to us. The devil will make sure that you and I get our fair share, if not more than our share, of heartache and pain. And so Peter first says, it's not unusual. It's not unusual for loved ones to get sick. It's not unusual for jobs to be lost. It's not unusual for people to dislike you. It's not unusual to get mistreated on the job. It's not unusual to have folks that attack your character. It's not unusual. It happened to them back there, and it's happening to us today. It's happening. I was reading an article of one of my favorite preachers, and he was talking about how in America, we really don't understand suffering as Christians. He said, what we call suffering here in other countries around the world, they call it a slight inconvenience. And I looked at a list of articles that he had read through, and he shared them with us. And I don't have time to go through them all, but some of the things that he mentioned were stuff like this. Pastor still missing. Congregation attacked on Easter Sunday. Children, both boys and girls, taken from their home. Believers across the world having to flee their homelands. He talked about how we really don't see physical persecution here, but I want to tell you something. If you are a child of God this morning, and if you're walking in the same direction God is walking, sooner or later, you're going to run into the devil. Amen. You may not be facing physical persecution, but I'm telling you, the devil is here to harass us. He's here to persecute us. He's here to make our lives miserable if he can. And so Peter tells us, number one, it's not unusual. It's not unusual what you're going through. It's not unusual the pain that you feel. It's not unusual the struggles that you're having to endure. Second thing Peter would say to us in words that you and I can understand, he would say, is real. The pain that you feel is real. The hurt that you're experiencing is real. You know, Deborah, I don't know about y'all. So we just have fun this morning. I just want to preach. I just want to talk to you. The devil tried to make me think I'm crazy. Amen. He tried to make me believe that this spiritual war that I keep talking about, there's no war going on. Look around. Look around. You're the only one talking about a war. You're the only one that call yourself trying to fight. But let me tell you something. I'm telling you, I'm not crazy. Amen. I may be a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. The devil try to make you believe, listen to me, the devil try to make you believe that there is something wrong with you. But can I tell you this morning that this battle is real and the pain is real. It hurts. It hurts when your family is being attacked. It's real when you're being mistreated on your job because of your faith. It's a real battle to try to bring your children up in a way that their lives is not destroyed before they live life. It's real. It's real. That dark depression that hovers over your soul when everybody else is sleeping, that's real, folks. It's real. Listen what Peter says in verse number 12. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." It's not make-believe. It's not a figment of our imagination. Listen, if you don't get nothing else from this message this morning, you get this right here. The devil is out to get you because of your connection with Jesus Christ. If he cannot deceive you out of the will of God through sin, his next move is to harass you and to beat you down and to persecute you until you throw in the towel and give up on the faith. Am I preaching this morning? It's real. Peter says it's real. Listen, look back with me, verse 12. Listen. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial." Listen, the word fiery means a burning. Listen, it means something that is a flame. And what Peter is saying to us, listen, is that there are times when the devil don't just shoot an arrow. He set that thing on fire. He fill it full of poison and then he shoots it. He's been shooting at me ever since I got saved. But can I tell you, there are times when he shoots a fiery dart. Peter said, listen, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Underline the word try. It's a word, listen, it's a word that has to do with testing a metal. It's how gold is tried. They take gold and they throw it in a fire. They expose it to tremendous heat to see if it's real. One of the things that the devil constantly accuses us of, he accuses us of being hypocrites. He accuses us of not being real, Robert. And listen, and he brings his testing tools. He brings his fire of persecution, his fire of adversity, and he put it in our lives. And he says to God, "I prove to you that they're not who they say they are." So Peter tells us, first of all, it's not unusual. Peter tells us, secondly, that it's real. It's real. In verse 13, Peter says, "Rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when," underline that. Now that's good. He said that when his glory shall be revealed. Here's what Peter is saying to us. Peter is saying to us, listen, if you are a child of God, If you've been washed in the blood, if you've been born again by the grace of God, you may have trouble now, but trouble won't last always. I like that word when. Whenever I see the word when in the Bible, my ears perk up. Because what God is saying through the Apostle Peter, you may have trials and tribulation now, but be of good courage, because morning is coming. And when morning comes, it's going to bring some joy with it. Listen to what he says. He said that when his glory shall be revealed. One of the things that keep me going when I'm in the heat of battle is knowing that my commander in chief is going to come. I'm telling you this morning, listen to me. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I got good news. Listen, Jesus Christ will come again. He'll come again. And Peter said, listen to what Peter said in the last part of that verse. He said, and you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And so this morning, Solid Rock, listen, I just simply come to remind you of what God's been reminding me all the week. Stay in the battle. Stay faithful. Stay on the wall. Because the king will come. And when he come and he find you on the wall, your joy that you're going to experience at the coming of the Lord Jesus cannot be compared to the pain and the suffering that you went through for this short period of time. Okay, that's the first part of the message. Listen what Peter says, verse 14. He said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Now, I want you to catch something in that verse there. Peter says, he said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Here's the fourth thing that Peter would have us to know in the midst of the times of fiery trials. He would have us to know that you and I have everything that we need to be more than conquerors. Whatever you're facing this morning, listen to me. If you're a child of God, you don't have to look on the outside for help. You need to look on the inside for help. He said, the spirit of glory and the spirit of God rest upon you. You know what that means? That means, listen, that we are anointed for this moment. That means that we got grace for this moment. That means, listen, that he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world, and we can be victorious no matter what we're facing. Yes. Yes, there are times when I'm in trouble and I call one of my brothers, I call Randall, I call Robert, I call Kurt, I call somebody. But listen, the real help comes from within. Oh, you got a powerful ally within. And so Peter says, the spirit rest upon you, the spirit of glory and the spirit of God. But keep reading with me. He said, listen. He said, now, in verse 15, in terms that you and I can understand, in verse 15, he said, you need to check the source of your suffering. Now, let me just tell you something. Listen to me. There are primary two reasons why we suffer in this world. Either we're suffering in the will of God, or we're suffering because we're out of the will of God. Amen. Yeah. Really, only two. And Peter said, listen, if you're going through difficulties and if you're facing trials and tribulation, you need to ask yourself a question. Why am I suffering? Listen, when you're suffering, it's a good time to examine not everybody else around you. It's a good time to examine your own life. You see, the problem with us, listen to me. Stay with me for just a minute. I promise we'll go home. Listen, the problem with us, when we're suffering, we want to play the blame game. We want to lay the blame on everybody and everything except where the responsibility really ought to fall on us. Easy for me to blame my environment. Easy for me to blame my mama or my daddy who was absent all the time. Easy for me to blame the school system why I didn't get a good education when the boy sitting beside me got a good education. Easy for me to blame my wife or my husband while my marriage is messing up and take no responsibility for myself. Listen to me, folks. Listen, don't miss this. God cannot help you until you come clean with him. And for a lot of us, we're suffering and we want to blame it on society and we want to blame it on the government. And we want to blame it on this. And we want to blame, we even like to blame the devil. And a lot of credit the devil get, he's sitting back laughing and enjoying it, but he don't deserve it. Listen what Peter says in verse 15. He said, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody. Now listen, that's Peter's way of just saying, he named a couple of things there, but what Peter was really getting at is that what you ought to do in the midst of your suffering, you ought to examine your own life. See if you're in the will of God. Listen, here's what I've learned about suffering. I've learned, listen, that sometimes we open the door for the devil to come in and afflict us. Listen, honey, if you're living in sin, if you're playing with the devil's toys, what you're doing is you're giving the devil the right to come into your life. Wherever his toys, he got a right to come. Wherever there's disobedience to God, it's obedience to the devil. Wherever a person is not sold out to God, he's a slave to the devil. And so Peter said, look at your life. That's a fair question, ain't it? Look at your life. He said, don't be guilty of suffering because of evil in your own life. Dr. Rogers used to like to say, he said, we guilty of sowing our wild oats and praying for a crop failure. Only problem with that is that it don't work in the spiritual realm. Here's what Peter is also teaching us. He's teaching us the principle of repentance. We don't talk about repentance much in the church anymore. But repentance is a big deal with God. Listen, here's what repentance means. Repentance means that you confess your sin and you're sorry for your sin. Listen, you're not sorry that you just got caught. You're sorry that you've done the act. And then you turn from that thing and turn to God in righteousness. What we want to eat from the table of sin and still enjoy sweet communion with God. And it won't work. Are y'all with me this morning? Come on. So Peter says to Anthony Bledsoe, and Peter says to Solid Rock, and Peter says to every child of God, are you suffering because you're in rebellion against God? Are you suffering because of sin that you won't repent of, that you won't turn away from? Verse 17. Peter moves from talking to the saints, to talking to the sinners. His words to the sinners is a strong word in verse 17. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Let me tell you something I believe is happening as we sit here this morning. I believe God is separating through trials and tribulation. God is separating the true Christian from the false Christian. I believe that's happening. I'm going to tell you something, Solid Rock. Listen to me. Not everybody that said, Lord, Lord, has been saved. And not everybody that shows up at the church loves Jesus. Now, I don't know who it is, but God does. And my duty is to make sure that I am who I say I am. And so listen what he says. Don't miss this. Just a good Bible study. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Now, ain't that interesting? Let me tell you something about God, Kathy. God is a good father. Amen. And God will never go to the world and straighten up the world's house until he get his own house straight. I mean, what do I look like coming to your house and raising your children while my children are buck wild? No discipline, no correction. But I'm constantly over at your house telling you how you ought to raise your children. Listen, God said, I'm starting in my own house. I'm starting in my own house. Listen, in fact, the parable of the wheat and tares, really, that's what it symbolizes. Because, see, tares look just like wheat. In the early stages, when you looked at both of them, unless you had a keen eye, you couldn't tell the wheat from the tare. The only problem was when wheat got up some size, it produced fruit. Tare just kept being tare. No fruit, no usability, no productivity. So God said, I'm going to start in my own house. Now watch this. He says, and if it first begin with us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? And if the righteous scarcely, listen to this right here. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You know what Peter's teaching us? If those of us who have been washed in the blood of Jesus just barely make it by the grace of God. Now, thank God, God graced us enough. Amen. It has the power to get every sinner to salvation. But if you leave this world without the grace of God, without the blood of Jesus Christ, Peter is saying there is no hope for you. And so let me ask you something. Are you saved this morning? I mean, listen, are you really saved, or is your name just on a church roll somewhere? Is Jesus Christ really the Lord and Savior of your life, or are you just wearing the name? I would love for people to call me Dr. Bledsoe. Look at Dr. Bledsoe. Walk in somewhere. That Dr. Bledsoe is. Amen. The only problem with having a title and no credentials is that it don't get you nowhere. I'm asking you this morning, listen to me. Listen, guys. Are you really saved? I'm not questioning your salvation, but your soul is so important that you need to know that you know that you know that if I leave this world today, I go to be with Jesus. Here's the final thing Peter says this morning. Verse 19, he says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Peter said, if you're here today and you're suffering as a Christian and you're suffering because you're in the will of God and you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to bring glory and honor to God, Peter said, listen, commit yourself to him. Roll yourself over on him. Peter said, he is trustworthy. He is dependable. He got Moses through the Red Sea. He brought Daniel out the lion's den. He got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. He was with the Apostle Paul through every trial and tribulation. And I'm telling you this morning, you can trust him for your journey. Amen. You can trust him. You can trust him. I thought about the promises that God makes to us when we go through difficulties, when we face trials and tribulation, when we know, listen, that we're going through it because of our connection with Jesus. I thought about three promises that God makes to us. I want to leave them with you this morning. I don't want to carry them home with me. Listen, the first promise that he makes to us, he makes the promise that he'll be with us. He'll be with us. Through every trial, through every difficulty, through every hardship, he said, I will be with you. Write down Isaiah 43, verse 1 and 2. God said, when you go through the waters, I'll be there. When you go through the fire, I'll be there. He said, I'll be there with you through the good and the bad. We got the promise that he'll be with us. The second promise that we got is that we got the promise that his grace will be enough for us. His grace will be enough for us. Listen, as a child of God, you may not have money. You may not have friends. You may not have influence. I'm telling you, you got grace. And grace will be enough. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. He said, I learned that God's grace is sufficient through all my trials, through all my tribulations. I look back over my life as a believer, and I'm telling you, I've come through some things, and I know you have too. And people around you who don't know the Lord may be wondering, how on earth did you get through that? Well, we can tell them it was by grace. It's the unmerited favor and goodness of God. The last promise, not the last promise, but the third promise that Lord shared with me this morning, he said, tell Solid Rock that I promise the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. In Revelation chapter 20, chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, John talks about seeing a new heaven and a new earth come down. He talks about how there's no more sea. No more problems, no more trials, no more tears, for the former things have passed away. Behold, he have made all things new. I want to tell you this morning that the best is yet to come. That's what I have to remind myself of. I have to remind myself, listen, that the best is still out in front of me. One of these days, the sky is going to part, the clouds are going to roll up like a scroll. Things as we know it, we won't know them like that anymore. The Bible said that the trumpet shall sound out loud and the dead in Christ shall rise. And those of us who are alive shall be caught up in the clouds together with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we shall ever be with him. And we can comfort one another with these words. When I was a kid, Kurt, one of the things I hated was going to the field. Man, I almost rather take a whipping than to see Monday morning come and it was time to hit the fields. Either one or two things. Either it was too hot to be in the field or too cold to be in the field. But it was never just right to be in the fields. I hated the fields. Once you got in the fields, you were there all day. The comforting thing was knowing that quitting time was going to come. Sooner or later, 5 o'clock was going to get here, and I was going to get to go home. And that's my attitude in this life. It's going to come 5 o'clock, and we're going to get to go home. And the good news is that we'll never have to go back to the fields again. Maybe you're here this morning, you're going through suffering. You're facing trials and tribulation. Your marriage is hurting. Your finances hurting. Sickness. All kind of devastations. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. You never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Apostle Peter said, if the righteous scarcely make it, where are you going to stand without Jesus? you ought to come this morning. Simple message. Everybody can understand it. Without Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this life nor the life to come. You ought to make a decision this morning for Jesus. 2,000 years ago, he made a decision for you when he died on the cross. You ought to make one for him this morning. You stand with me. You're a believer, and you're just facing unimaginable pain and suffering. Listen, the altar is open this morning. You don't have to go home. Listen to me. You don't have to go home without some hope this morning. You don't have to leave here without some hope in the Lord Jesus. You ought to come. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you, God, for your grace and mercy that meets us at the point of our needs. I think it's true of all of us that there are days when, Lord, we just wonder, is it worth it? When we're tired and confused and the beatdown effect has come. Dear God, I pray this morning for a spirit of refreshing, a spirit of revival, a spirit of restoring strength and joy and peace flow through this place and through these lives. And God, we'll give you the praise and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You come this morning.